Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Catherine Cottery. The equity benchmarks are drifting between small gains and losses as the market recovers much of an earlier drop. Utilities, real estate, and other stocks that pay large dividends led the gainers as bond yields fall. Banks and other financial companies are down the most. Investors are weighing the latest batch of earnings results from Disney and other major companies. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. Dow Industrial Average is down 39 points, 0.2% at 20,050. S&P 500 up 1 point at 2294. The NASDAQ is up 7 points, 0.1% at 5681. West Texas Intermediate crude oil up 8 cents a barrel, 0.8% at 5227. Spot gold up $4.70 the ounce at 1240.80. 10-year Treasury up 10/32 with a yield of 2.3564. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser along with Corey Johnson right here on Bloomberg Radio.
The rules might be changing, even when they're inspired by Michael McDonald, but Chris Whalen, Senior Managing Director at Kohl Bond Rating Agency, suggests it's possible to restore Glass-Steagall and yet retain the Volcker Rule. Christopher, I'm very interested in this because the whole very nature of the Volcker Rule seems to be at odds with the Glass-Steagall rules.
Well, it's an interesting question. I always thought of the Volcker Rule as kind of a half step back towards Glass-Steagall, in a sense that it prohibited banks from doing own account trading, but
prop
it didn't
trading.
Divide the house. Right. Prop trading, really anything that conflicts with a customer or a counterparty. So it sequestered all of the capital in the enterprise, but that hurt liquidity in the markets, as we've heard quite a lot from Jeb Hensarling. And I think that the solution is to let the non-bank parts of these large universal banking groups trade their own account, funds, broker-dealers, and have a firewall with the bank, because the conflict concern is real. You know, you don't want a banker putting their finger on the scale when they're pricing a debt issue for you if they also trade your credit default swaps and your bonds, right? So that is a very real concern. But as we learn with the London Whale, once the Volcker Rule went into effect, these big portfolios at the large banks are now passive. Nobody trades them. They used to have market making around those portfolios, and there's nothing now. There's nobody there.
I mean, but was it a fair and orderly market if the market was moving because someone did have their finger on the scale? I mean, I'll concede that there's less liquidity when there's less prop trading or no prop trading. But at the same time, the notion of the Chinese wall didn't always mean there was a China, or the requirement of a Chinese wall doesn't always mean there's going to be one. And you know, you've traded a lot more than I have, and I've traded plenty. And I would see, you put an order in with your prime broker and you see the stock move, and it's, and you don't know why, and you don't know what's going on at the prop desk, but it's disconcerting just for a fair and orderly market. And then we should discuss risks, too, but,
It's a fair point, Corey, but there's different kinds of trading. You know, the prop desk in a firm, a hedge fund that's sponsored by a firm, and then, again, going back to the whale example, the investment book of a large bank. And J.P. Morgan owns just about every corporate bond, every preferred security issued by financials. And when they stopped trading that book, that was a big deal because they would make markets around it so they could value the book. That was essentially the function. And I knew those people. And as soon as the lawyers at JP started to implement the Volcker Rule, they basically got rid of the people in New York. And they said, oh, well, can't we keep the whale? He makes a lot of money for us in London. And that's how we found out about the London Whale. It was the implementation of the Volcker Rule. So I think that there's a way of dealing with this that addresses your concern about prop trading and addresses the larger concern regarding self-dealing by these big universal banks that both do a lending business and have a securities business as well. Because otherwise you go back to Glass-Steagall and you have to physically divide the house. You go back to separating the banking and the securities business. And I'm not sure there's really an appetite for that, despite the fact that the public would probably support it, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Carol, I'm jumping all over you right here.
No,
sorry.
It's okay. I'm kind of listening.
Well, I just think that there's also the other issue, and I think the reason the Volcker Rule was put in was not really to help Wall Street trade more fairly and help whiny hedge fund managers like I used to be, and I'm just a whiny radio guy. But there's also this notion of systemic risk that's introduced, the Lehman risk, the Bear Stearns risk, that's introduced by having banks regulated, FDIC protected, in fact, banks end up on the wrong side of trades, and in the way that you know people end up on the wrong side of trades by doubling down until suddenly you've got the financial systems at risk, not just a pig-headed trader.
Right, correct. But again, if you divide the activity so that the bank inside of a large bank holding company is effectively a client, and they either deal with another broker-dealer at another bank, or they could deal with a separately incorporated and managed broker-dealer on an arm's-length basis, I think you can achieve the protections that you're looking for. There is a concern, I think, of having banks as the counterparties in derivatives, especially when they're clearly not for hedging. And one of the ways you deal with that is that you force the universal banks to effectively shift some of the capital back to the dealer. You put enough money into that bucket so that it can act as a real counterparty. And I think that's a good thing, because if there is a problem, you can wind up the dealer and restructure it, and it hasn't affected the bank. To me, that's not a bad compromise. And I, you know me, I've written a lot about restructuring banks when they get in trouble. And I think dividing the trading side of the house, putting it in a FINRA-regulated entity, and then having the commercial bank be focused on customer business only, trust, that kind of thing, and maybe even executing their business away at a dealer that's not even part of their group, which is often the case today, right? The Wales group at J.P. Morgan used to execute through Goldman. So that's another solution. You force them to execute away. But I think just as a practical matter, we want some of that capital in the market. We can't just sequester all of it inside the bank and say, well, you can't trade your own account at all, because the effect on the market's negative.
Really interesting proposal. Christopher Whalen, Senior Managing Director at Kroll Bond Rating Agency. Great stuff. Thoughtful conversation. We're appreciative of that, because obviously some changes are coming, Carol. Maybe it'd be good to...
Maybe.
Liquidity's good.
Maybe changes are coming. I did a big thing with the financial industry last night, and we're all just kind of waiting to see what happens.
All right, you're listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg.
Coming up, the Bloomberg Small Business Report brought to you by Carbonite. Is your computer safe from ransomware? Hackers use it to make victims pay thousands of dollars to access their own data. Protect your business from ransomware with Carbonite Cloud Backup. Learn more at carbonite.com.